Hello, my dear listeners. This is an early podcast. It's just 3:21 in the afternoon. But there is something which is very pressing. I think podcast has become something, a much more detailed Twitter for me. It's like when you have the urge to share an idea, like Twitter is just too restrictive and weird. Yeah. Too much going on there. Sharing is about, I just want to say it, you know, if there are comments, if there are feedback, if there are concerns, happy to listen and discuss. But don't take this blocking and this muting and this, it's just weird. It's just like a fish market. So yeah, it's good to see where we go down to. But yeah, I had an interesting thought today. I couldn't wait until the night and my dinner to come to it. So a little bit of a background. I bumped into a very good looking woman on a dating website. I've written somewhere on my blog post that my luck with dating sites is like the chances of me meeting a person on dating sites, I think, are lower than the chances of an asteroid hitting the earth in the next 50 years. So see, 50 years is the key word here. I mean, I'm not that bad, but I'm still bad enough. So I bumped into this person and she was very pretty, very beautiful. And I read her profile and it said that she was vegan and she hated vegan jokes and like ethical lifestyle, which is understandable. I think this was very recent, 6 months back. So we both are in our 31s. I think we are both out of the same age. I am a non-vegetarian, especially a chickenitarian. I purposely don't eat anything else other than, when I eat non-veg, chicken is the only non-veg item that I eat, and which is extremely rare. I don't cook meat at home, but yeah, biryani is one of my weak points. What can I do? 4 years of living in Hyderabad can do that to you. But as other non-vegetarians, I believe I don't have a problem if the person I'm dating or I'm with is a vegetarian or a vegan or a chickenitarian or even eats beef. Now, I am a Hindu staunch believer, so like beef is out of question for me regardless, even though all of my friends eat beef and they kind of have like, you should try this and that, but like, I mean, I just politely disagree that, you know, I refuse to abide by it, and no offense is meant. And it's a topic which, and I don't want to go that it's not the Hinduism that is related. It's wrongly attributed that Hindus have been forbidden from eating cow. That is not the case. Topic of some other debate. That is more out of love. Like growing up, cow's name in India is Gauma. So Ma is mother. So because you drink her milk. So you drink your mother's milk and then you drink a cow's milk. So I don't know. Connect the dots. And milk is one of the most nutritious things a human being can eat after, I think, that can consume. So yeah, so, but I have dated women who have had beef in front of me and I was okay. Just won't kiss me after that. I mean, I won't kiss you after that unless you go and, I don't know, like, you know, gargle your mouth or do something. But sure, I mean, yeah. It's you. If your dietary habits don't make much of a difference to me, but if we are on the long journey of a marriage or, you know, things like that, it is a personal responsibility to ensure that the other person is not doing or eating things that is detrimental to their health. So it is not very hard to, and it's kind of a fun game the way that I look at it, that, you know that this, if other person is eating too much meat, which is not good for you, and you can find countless research which tells red meat is not just bad for you, it is bad for the environment as well, and blah blah blah, and all those things. So it just becomes a little bit of a fun battle. Fun thing going on, that, you know, how do you convince the other person to not eat so much non-vegetarian food and like slowly, and do it maybe to yourself as well. Now, that is the topic of the debate right now, the discussion right now, because Yeah, so that is my stance on vegetarian versus vegan versus non-vegetarian food. Don't eat like all these bats. No fancy foods. So like, you don't have to go and find whales and stuff. Now, that is wrong. Like, I mean, you're finding endangered species, you're going out of your line to hunt them and get them to eat. That is a little too much, I guess. Chicken is a different story, which I'll come to later. But so yeah, so I was chatting with her, like it was good. Again, seems like there could be a connection. I mean, it sounds reasonable in a few tits and tats. But then the discussion somehow steered, I don't remember exactly how, but it steered towards vegan and vegetarian. And she asked me, "Are you vegan?" I said, "I'm a chickenitarian." And then she was saying that, well, I want to be with somebody whose the max I can go is to vegetarian, which was very startling to me. It's like, well, when your vegetarian choice, your dietary choices don't matter to me, why should it matter to you? But it could. That's the kind of person she is. I don't know. I've just chatted with her for, I don't know, a few minutes on a dating site, but still, I mean, now it's more of a gen. Now that is mostly for me a red flag in the sense that. If you are putting conditions on things like these, I don't want to marry a murderer. Now, that is a fair condition to have, right? I mean, that is understandable. I don't want to marry somebody who is criminally convicted or like something like that. Yikes. That is understandable. But like dietary, I don't like, what is the next? I don't like, I mean, do you watch sports? Like, I don't want to marry somebody who watches sports. Like, I mean, what is, where does this stop? Anyways. So that is, to me, is a little awkward. That, I mean, to me also it was like, I mean, when I was for the first time when this happened to me, somebody ate beef in front of me. I mean, I wanted to say something, but then I did not find the premise to convince, not to say anything. I mean, I would rather take it slow and maybe, convince them or influence them to quit eating it, rather than make a judgment call on them that you should not do it. Why? Because, well, it is harmful for the environment and oh, those animals need love and care. And that to me is not a good line of argument. I mean, what makes you think that they don't love animals? Like, I mean, anyways, so that was interesting. Now, I think it went around that then I was about vegetarian when she said, I'm very passionate about animal rights and such kind of things. And I was like, did I just ask her, do you drive a car? And like climate change and like caring for these things and ethical concerns stuff. I was like, to me it was like, well, do you drive a car? Do you have an air conditioner? Like, if the answer to both of them is yes, you are killing the environment. You want to be the flag bearer of climate change? Like, leave your, I mean, even Tesla battery, where will that battery go? They have to find a way to dispose that battery very well, right? I mean, where will that battery go? That all that plastic, what was made? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this one, but like, I hope they'll make the whole car biodegradable in some time, but not yet. Right? Tire is made up of rubber. You have to burn it. Yeah. I mean, what do you do about that? So yeah, I mean, you can always find corner cases in these things, and like, it should be a concerted effort. It should be incorporated into a lifestyle, and not like pinpointed on choices that somebody has made. For example, I told her, I mean, I wear clothes from Everlane all the time. Like, I mean, I try to buy clothes from local vendors. So, I mean, I did not have a car then. I have now. I mean, but so, well, I am a notch ahead in you than that. And I don't use air conditioning as much as I cannot use air conditioning. I was like, well, I am a notch ahead when it over chicken and stuff. And but the thing is, again, so this was the discussion, and it was, see, and the thing is, I liked her, and I wanted to just, I proposed that, why don't we just like meet, or like, have a chat on the phone, just because you sound interesting and I am interested. I know that I am interesting, so let's have a call. And her response was, well, I am not interested in like making friends or anything, because I am looking mostly for matrimonial purposes and not the, just to make friends. To that, my response that I did not give was, well, I was not trying to be a friend. It was just, you hold opinions, I hold opinions. If you just have 20, 30 minutes, it'll just be a fun and discussion. But apparently even that for women in the these days is too much to ask for. But yeah. So that ended there. Recently, it so happens that we bumped again on the same app again. And she has no idea who I am again, she says. And I reply, I say, hello again. And she has no idea clearly. And then she comes down to, are you... I purposely make a joke which hints that I am a vegan. It just hints that I am a vegan. It doesn't indicate that I am a vegan. I said I'll be opening a vegan restaurant. I mean, I can open a vegan restaurant. I don't have to be a vegan myself, right? I mean, the little quirky detail that make me an evil person. So there, I think she got that impression that I'm vegan, and then she came back, oh, how long have you been a vegan? To that, I took my own sweet time. I was like, okay, I don't want to lie. That would be... So I took my time and I kind of told the entire context, like, you know what, we have bumped into each other for 6 months back, and like, we kind of respectfully parted our ways on this vegan thing itself. And she said, well, the max I can... So she again read, the max I can do is like vegetarian. And I have not replied yet. I mean, because I don't have a... I mean, I can come up with a quirky reply or like something like that, but like, I choose not to, because it's... Yeah, she doesn't seem like a person who is up, who is... You know, I like people who are always open for, like, who are receptive. I'm very receptive. I listen to something which is very, very amazing, and I become receptive. I listen to that Gita 365 guy. I became so receptive. I've been listening to that old man for the last, like, God knows, 4 or 5 months now, continuously, every night. Amazing guy. Normal people these days, they don't say anything which is worth recepting, right? I mean, all they talk about is feelings and emotions, and this, you should be happy. And that guy says, happiness is a state of mind. So it is something which is not the usual. That means you'll have to always put effort to be happy. Such a powerful thought it is. So do you want to be always happy? No. I just want to be in a calm state, in a rest state. Meditative mind is what the goal of mind should be. Not happiness. Blissfulness, maybe. Not happiness. Happiness needs something in the world has to change to incite that feeling inside you. Blissfulness does not need anything. You can be sitting in a room all closed out in a dark solitude confinement, and you could be like bliss. No, happiness might not come. Why? Because, well, cold drink makes me happy. How do I get a cold drink? So, well, that's a debate topic. So that's why happiness should not be short for. Blissfulness, maybe calmness, maybe composability should be more of a target goal, is what I believe. And again, this is something that came to my mind thanks to somebody else, and I have always been receptive of it. So she did not seem like somebody who's receptive. But then again, today I was looking at my matrimonial site, well, to see how much effort I've spent into this kind of things. She shows up again. And I have to give brownie points to her for consistency. Again, mentions the vegetarian thing right up there. I am very value a lot of ethical and like philosophical, and that's what I kind of see. Everybody has a right to philosophy, right? But be mindful that people have thought on these topics. I mean, a part of philosophy, I think you can only become a philosopher once you cross a very long age, because it will take you a long time to understand and appreciate what other people have thought already. And a very big part of being a philosopher is being receptive to other people's thoughts and not fighting them, not closing yourself to them, but understanding them, kind of seeing where is this person coming from, and not taking a moral high ground and defeating them, but being like, for example, here, right? I mean, but I'm not there yet. That's why I claim to be a budding philosopher, but I'm not there yet. You're not even close by any chance. I mean, my podcast yesterday on Trump, a bunch of things that I said should resonate with people is like, if you go down the same battle, if you try to prove the same thing, I'm digressing here, but if you start again saying that he's a dumbass, he's an idiot, you are repeating the same mistake. I mean, making the same mistake just again only makes you look dumber, not him smarter. So don't expect the same response. That's the definition of like insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. This is a copied dialogue from Justified. But then I saw it and it just struck me that why did I actually? I mean, it's like I could also be that person who, I mean, I like the girl. She is very nice. She is very pretty. I am looking for somebody to settle with, right? And why can't I make that sacrifice? Why can't I quit my chicken and my eggs and like tell her that, you know what, you convert my mind, you know? Love found, blindfolded love. Let's fall in love, let's spend our life with each other. Why does that not, why is that not a viable option? Why am I being the dumbass, by being the jackass here and like, being like, oh, I don't want to leave my chicken. Which is actually, and that's what makes me feel, I mean, that's what I think probably she's going through her mind. She doesn't want to leave his chicken. And which is such a false argument, right? Because I'll tell you why I don't like this. I said I think these people are red flaggy people. Because like, the fact that somebody's dietary preferences are a red flag to you, or is something that you cannot live with, kind of shows that how totalitarianism belief you maintain in your own mind. Like, just take some, it's the definition of totalitarianism is that you want everything to abide by exactly the law that you have made. It's an all or nothing game. It's a zero sum game. Which is barbaric, if not narcissistic. At least it is narcissistic. It's barbaric. I'll talk about religion in the coming days and why I hold my thoughts as they are, but this is an essence of human existence. Like, you cannot be totalitarianism. You cannot propagate, you cannot have a propaganda for it. That is why I don't like PETA. I mean, let's take a hypothetical scenario. Let's take the scenario where people have actually learned, opened their eyes and become like, you know what? We should not eat other human beings. We should not eat other like living beings. I'm sorry. Human beings. I hope nobody's eating. Well, there are crazies. But let's take this argument that people stop eating eggs. They all stop eating butter chicken. I don't know what vegan comprises of, to be honest. Like, let's assume that it is limited to eggs and chicken and anything a living being. Let's, for the sake of argument. So eggs are gone from the markets. Meat is gone from the markets, right? Let's only take the example of chickens, because let's take that it's just me, because we're talking about me. Like, I think the same argument can be applied to almost any animal or whatever you want to do to them, right? Now let's take the example, taking the example of chicken, and same stands for lamb and pork and all those things. How many times have you seen a hen or a pig just walking around in the corners or the city areas or your suburbs? I don't think ever. We're talking about the United States of America. Let's assume that the world is equal to USA. Let's not go to India and stuff. And the argument again will stand the same in India, if you kind of, or Europe or any other country for that matter. Like wild animals, like these animals like hens, pigs, dogs. I want to include dogs as well. No, people don't eat a dog meat. I had a great discussion with some girl on dog meat. It's like, open a restaurant which sells dog meat and let me see how that restaurant survives. Let me see, this whole liberal world will come crushing down on that people, the Instagram folks, and the government will have to interfere and stop that place. And all he's doing is selling dog meat. Why? Because people for some reason love dogs. I mean, if you love dogs, aren't like the dog has rights? Like, you're putting a leash on the dog. I mean, I'm jumping ahead of my discussion, but again, let's do this and... So if all the chicken in the world is gone, and so where will hens be? Because we'll have shut down all these like slaughterhouses. We will have shut down, I think the only way you get chicken is like some slaughterhouse, right? And they kind of farm the chicken. So all the chicken farms are gone. Well, they have a bunch of chicken. They cannot kill them now. So they have to release them. And they release them in the wild. They go into the jungle and like, okay, there you go. If there are people who have some context in biology and evolution, could you, and if I'm completely off on this one, I think that within 25 to 30 years, there will be no species called hen or chicken. They will be eliminated and eradicated. Because the set of all the chicken that you had, chicken cannot defend themselves. You leave them in the wild, they will be eaten by somebody. Some animal will eat them. They are defenseless. They don't have any defense. They can't fly. They have to be dead. Somebody has to protect them or else they are dead. This is a very strong argument. This is argument which will stand for pigs as well. This is an argument which will stand for a lot of animals, dogs for that matter. If I claim that the fact that you are domesticating a dog, you are infringing on his animal rights because you have put a leash around his neck. When was the last time a dog stood up and said, I want to be slave of this master? Never. What makes you take dogs as slaves? You have made them slaves. Those poor normal beings would have lived in their own habitat, like raised their kids and run around lovingly. Like you have made them love your kids and love yourself. Now, if you are making me leave my chicken, would you go and tell my neighbor to leave his, to get rid of his dog? Because I don't like it. I see a dog and I mean, I want to get a dog, but I can't because I just feel that I'll be slaving a human being, a living being. That's so wrong of me. How can I enslave a human being, a living being? I can't. A bird, maybe. One day I'll just keep her and she's like, let me go. Why? I mean, I don't want to keep you a slave. I'm feeding you and stuff. I mean, if you want to stay, sure. If you don't, go. But dogs, for that matter. And the reason why dogs are slaves, because they have realized over the time that it's only with humans that we can survive, or else we will die. We have nothing to eat. We will be killed by lions and hogs and all these people. And they have come to terms with it. And they look pretty and nice and nobody wants to eat them, so they are good. Chicken, who is going to defend them? All these PETA people. Do you think they have any idea? If you release all these chicken in the wild, like go tag them. In 50 years, they will be extinct. You will have, you cannot say H for hen anymore or C for chicken. You have to say something else. Why hens don't exist? Why they all got eaten up? All the animals ate them. And I will be more than happy to be wrong on this one. I'll do some research. I'm pretty sure that you can't find such content on the internet these days. Google is too bad to surface relevant content. And that's what I'm like. And in that sense, it's like this totalitarianism, which you want. If I give that utopia to you tomorrow, like you would be the responsible for extinction of so many species that today are maintained and thriving because there are some people who just eat them. And what is the next step to it? I mean, if you know about a religion, Jain religion in India, they don't eat anything which grows within below the surface of earth for some reason, which is probably that it has grown, so it has bacteria and living things and everything. It is the roots. They don't eat roots because roots give life to plants, and the fact that you're eating it, that means you killed that plant and you are eating them. That's why they always eat fruits, vegetables, which are like subclasses of fruits. Tomato is fine, but onions are not fine. I think potatoes are also not fine for some of them, I guess. How much hardline do you want to go? Like, we will all be living on Jain diet then? Tell me, how will a family which lives in Iceland, where it gets to minus God knows how much, how will they survive on potatoes and onions? How much potato will that guy have to eat to generate the amount of body heat so that he can go out and get some milk? I mean, I used to hold the same opinion. And I came to the US. That's the great thing about the US. You meet people from all over the world. I mean, no matter how strong opined you are, you meet somebody who has seen such adverse situations that makes you change your thought. Because that's what exactly happened. Somebody told me, it is so fucking cold. It's minus 60 degrees Celsius. Like, what do you want me to eat? Like, potatoes? I had no alternative for him. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I have nothing for you. I can't give you a reasonable answer. I'm done. How do I explain this to that girl? And the problem is, even if I try to, with that attitude, like, it becomes, I'm pretty convinced, I'm sure, albeit, that it will just be a nonsensical argument which I can't even rebut. This ability that you should be able to rebut an argument and be able to take the flow and go along with it, because you are defending, you are attacking, I am defending. You want me to change something, not the other way around. I am fine. You could not eat, like, I'm fine. I mean, you could be like, you could eat your chicken, but just don't bring it to my home and you will not get any that night. See? takes out the leverage from eating chicken. Now it is chicken biryani or sex in the night. I mean, I'm pretty sure the odds are very much skewed towards the sex. But no, you want a perfect picture, perfect person. Exactly as you need. Any twitch, any notch here and there, and I'm like, nope, nope. That's not what I want. And I'm not going to compromise. That's exactly what I want. Funny, right? She looks pretty. She is beautiful. 32. Couple more years. And I think I've told I've met somebody who was 37. Amazing woman. Amazing woman. Would not compromise on God knows what. Was interested in me. Why? Because I busted her nuts. It is if you are listening, it is extremely hard to go against. I'm not saying my reasons, but I mean, I only say what, like, I think the gods would say. I mean, when would you stop? I can take the argument to myself, but I have a moral high ground here that the religion and the sect of Hindu that I follow, like my father and my parents have had way more chicken and meat, not even chicken, chicken plus fish plus lamb and whatnot than me, and our religion, the place where we are from, permits it. Why? Because of the same reason why that Iceland I gave, because I'm from Kashmir and it used to be freaking cold. You don't eat chicken, like, and it doesn't grow anything. Nothing grows there, right? It is snowing. There is no vegetable. All the fruits are dried out. Like, all the veggies are gone. The ocean is frozen. What do you eat? What do you eat? Give me an alternative. Don't give me a solution. Like, don't just make a generative solution. So that was an interesting insight I had. I wish I could share it with people, but I am now with you again. As usual, I'm always happy to listen to more critics and feedbacks, but no buts there. But it is very saddening to see that people holding such small things so dear to their heart, and makes you wonder that there could be so many things that now I don't know about you, which you would hold an extremely hard line, and it will be just me compromising for a very long time. And that's what makes me go like, oh, you know what, maybe I'll keep my chicken with me. Maybe the biryani is still wins. Because, yeah, I mean, one of my best friends, Thiago, guy friends here, like, eats beef, goes to a steakhouse. He's a Brazilian guy. I mean, do I stop talking to him now? What the hell? No? Like, if I go to his house, like, he has the same utensils that you. No, man, that is nothing to do with it. Like, Lord Ram ate Shabri ke Ber, if you guys know. Like, he was eating the, what is it? I don't know, jhootha of, like, Shabri, a scheduled caste woman. He was eating her food. Not because he was stuck in a situation. I mean, even if it was the king of Ayodhya and Shabri came with her jhoothe bear, with her licked bear, licked berries, he would still eat them because she is giving them with love, right? There is no reason that you can't say that, oh, just because he was stuck in the jungle, he ate it, or else he would not have had it. No, that's not true. But alas, and that kind of will sum up a lot of my discussions about women and being with them, because it is one thing to deeply madly fall in love and forget what the other person is, and it's a second thing to make a conscious judgment call whether we can have a good life together. These are two very separate things. Very separate things. You go to a nightclub, you look at women, if beauty is what you're shooting for, you will fall in love so many times that day, that night. Go to a nice park. I mean, the number of beautiful women are going to be so much, but you look at them and you're like, well, she is pretty, amazing, beautiful, there's that, but would I be happy with her? Probably not. Why? Because we are on different dimensions. Not that she is bad for me or I'm bad for her, but like, it just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't match up. Like, I mean, but if I do want to match up, it would. And that's why, like, even if people are from different racial backgrounds and completely different culture still mingle and marry, because it's the intent that matters. It's like, no, I am going to put in the effort to make this work, rather than I want this thing at least. That I can work with. I think that makes me wonder what else are the things that are hidden, right? I don't know. Like, I don't drink alcohol. She drinks alcohol. I want to comment, like, would you quit your alcohol? Never touch. No wine, nothing. No red, blue, white, no wine, nothing. No beer, nothing. Never. No alcohol ever. Would you do that? And she's vegan, so most likely she does not eat onions. She does not eat curd. Probably not a few other things, which, like, if you, like, I can, like, break up a relationship over onions. Like, if you don't eat onions, if you have a problem with onions, you better are out of my door, like, in a minute. Like, there is, I don't even want to take this discussion forward. Why? Because you don't know the significance of onions in this world. How many hungry people live on onions? How many people's lives are saved because of onions? It is a fruit with such strong characteristics, and you just, like, just why? Because it smells, or it, like, you have read somewhere that it is not a sattvic food or something. Go away from here. That book was written like 1500 years ago, so don't take the same logic and shove it up my face right now. And if you don't understand these things, then just, like, okay, this is probably not meant to be with each other anyways. So yeah. So the rational argument I was making with this woman is that your traits, the PETA traits of, you know, this totalitarianism and, like, making sure that everybody is eating what I want them to eat. And this reflects to me that this is more of a dictatorial authority. And it is just like, you know, it is just like saying Hitler saying that I don't like Jews, so kill all of them. Right? Totalitarianism. That's what Hitler was all about. Aryan race is superior, everybody else should die. Totalitarianism. Right? I can give a more bunch of examples from religion, especially one which is especially known to be such totalitarianism oriented. You know, I'm hinting towards somebody who, Jordan, if you listen to Jordan Peterson, very well, Sam Harris, very well known. Why? Because, well, everything else is wrong. We are the right ones. Is that so now? These arguments are totalitarianism. Anything which is an all or nothing person, all or nothing situation, like, you should always back out of it. I do, because, like, not a healthy place. If it's an all or nothing, not a healthy place. So yeah, I'm due for a meeting in 5 minutes. I need to mentally prepare myself, or I'll be telling him notes from veganism. And I'm talking to a guy who, like, eats anything except human beings. That's how he says it. I eat anything except human beings. Like, okay, good that you spared at least something. I mean, but does it change my opinion? No, eat. I mean, yeah. So anyway, it was fun. I feel good sharing it out. Probably I'll come back in the evening with more. Have a good day and stay safe. Bye-bye. I'll wait for 3 seconds. So I'm deciding to add another segment, I think that's what it's called, to my vegan versus Nazis podcast. I didn't know that people are too serious, because after I made a few claims, I actually sat down and did some Google searching to figure out what do people think about veganism. Apparently, I found a few blogs where they're just fighting like cats and mouses. I mean, on comments, though, I'm pretty sure if they have to look at each other, like, there should be a communication medium where when you're commenting, like, your face has to show up. And once you look yourself that you're posting and writing all this, maybe people will tone down their voice a little bit. It's an interesting idea. When you write something, I mean, you can write something as shitty as possible, but when you look at yourself, like, even a podcast for that matter, and I think this is one of the very important reasons I'm doing this, because
once you were once I have known this, I've known this for a long time. Once I verbalize something, I say it out loud, and it kind of, I can see the stupidity in it. Makes me very conscious. Then that's why I have this very unfortunate habit of, you know, speaking into the void. Gives me some perspective always. And now too, I said it, like I made a lot of such claims. I mean, comparing vegans to, I mean, I'm not even comparing, it's like, again, it's pun intended, but people are fighting cats and mouse over here. Like, I mean, does it go extinct? I mean, it's like somebody reached to the degree that they are discussing that, I mean, there are still wild cows, so they will survive and this and that. And well, I don't know. I think evolution takes a little longer than that, what that person thinks. But again, not trying to educate people, humanity here. It's different. Yeah, I mean, this topic is of no importance to me. It's just that I drew that comparison equal. And apparently I did not know that Adolf Hitler became vegetarian before he was dying. So that was an interesting coincidence. And another interesting coincidence is that Adolf Hitler's birthday is 420. So well, lots of unintentional coincidences. And yeah, this topic is so unimportant, and it's like, and now I'm just wondering why were I discussing it so much? It should have been just, but yeah, I think it was a fun discussion, and from a perspective point of view, everybody's, I mean, again, I think the more of the rationale for discussing this was the totalitarianism of veganism more than anything else. That still stands. And yeah, it just struck me, like, I mean, I'm just looking at the number of, I found an article on vegan. I'm not doing too much research because it just then throws me into the abyss. But the number of comments that people posted over the years, oh man, this inherent urge to say and write, to be heard, so weird. So, I think I wanted to just say that I mean, a lot of people, I think what I'm trying to get at is, I see that one of the things I'm seeing throughout the board is, like, think about those people, think about those animals. Like, what if your family or you had to go through it? I think I'll bring back my argument of dogs. Like, who told you that the dog willingly loves you? What if I tell you the dog has understood that? He hates you. Your dog hates you. I think, I'm sure there is an article about it. Your dog hates you. Yeah. 20 signs your dog hates you. No, things you are doing that make your dog hate you. Surprising signs of dogs that... No, I'm like, these are like just petty video. Again, as I said, Google doesn't do a very good job of surfacing relevant content, but... what if your dog, like, deeply, deep down, even the dog that loves you, like, actually hates you. He's like, he wants to live in his own herd. But he's like, well, I'm stuck. I don't know where they are. And this guy is the only one who provides me food. So, well, I'm stuck. What makes you think that that is not what is going on in his head? Like, if you can think that a chicken can think that, oh, look, my son is dying, my daughter is dying, and I'm also dying. Oh, and I should think about that death. What makes you think your dog is not dying? I mean, I am a very big proponent of this. I mean, I have think verbalized it that I think very soon humans, women, men alike will start marrying their dogs because they will find peace and solace in dogs and not other human beings. But yeah, I mean, again, I see that the argument that they look at meat and they feel like, Oh, the poor thing has to go through so many things. Yeah, well, then you should not eat. But yeah, I think it's just the virus. I mean, it's a virus time, and I think this is a very common thing around people, that once you start believing in something, I don't know what makes people trying to spread it. Like, if I start believing in something, like for some reason I have to go around and like make a propaganda of it, spread it. That part I never understand. Why do people try to do that? What may, I mean, one other thing, explain. I will, even thinking rationally, like one of the things, I want other people to also benefit from what I've gotten. Did people ask you for it? Like, this is like a one-line blunt, like street smart answer, but once they will know, they will see the difference that it makes in their life. Again, man, like, don't make a propaganda to it. Like, I mean, if you are having a realization, could you not just shut up, lead a happy life, be blissful? No, we have to share. We have to give it to others. I think this is kind of nicely floating into my discussion. I mean, I don't know if I want to have that discussion. I feel like, yeah, it's just a wastage of, it's not a wastage of time, I would say, because I feel that I'm just speaking to myself. I'm not doing anything useful. I'd rather write some code and do something, you know, build something, project on GitHub or something. But this is flowing into the discussion around religion. I mean, almost every religion that I know of, there are a lot more than I know, except the one that I believe in. There is this innate feeling that you have to spread. You have to spread. I believe in this thing. Now it is my duty that to make sure that my brothers and sisters who live around me also believe in the same thing. Why? Why? I don't know. I'm pretty sure if you do the quote, vegans are atheists. Why so many vegans are atheists? See? But this is from some livekindly.co. Atheism and veganism. Are most vegans atheists? I don't know. Let's see where it goes. Yeah, just some random discussion. Everybody, I don't know. That's not, I mean, yeah, if you take Indians into account, a lot of vegan. India is like, again, a whole different ballgame. It's, don't kill people. Don't kill animals. But yeah, slowly but steadily, I think everybody eventually will become vegetarian. Vegan, I don't know. Vegetarian, I can see. But then I'm an Indian, so like, I mean, there are places like West Bengal, and there are places like a lot of places where, I mean, there are majority people don't see it that way, that they don't see that an animal has died to make me, to feed me. That, I mean, although that argument always comes up, like somebody has to die for me to be fed. That, I mean, but if you suffix it with once in a while, then it doesn't sound that bad, I think. But yeah, it's just futile. I mean, if, that's what it, that's what I was talking about, philosophy, what it does. Once you start internalizing what other people have said, then suddenly a lot of things that you believe, that were your ideas, suddenly become so trivial. They're like, yeah. And it brings about a new profound, ideas to, is this something which is worth so much? And that's what I mean, again, circling it down from where it started. Like, just because that one person makes it so important, makes you like go like, yeah. Closing remarks for that one, I guess. Anyways, I don't know if I want to make the one on religion or not. I feel these things are very futile and shouldn't be touched. Everybody has their own sense of opinions. I guess we are here to just share our own. So, regardless of how it goes, might be fun. Yeah. Doing some research goes a long way. Oh, I saw this one blog. This guy was like, I'm not able to sleep and this and that. I don't know whether he's exaggerating or just... But I think I have seen that. I think I know personally a bunch of vegans who like become extremely diehard, and their obnoxiousity is what I think makes people go against them. Because the way that, don't you see those people are dying, those animals are dying. There are poor kids dying in Africa every second, my friend. Every second. What are you doing here? Go save them. Go work. Go work for UNICEF. Go. What are you doing here? Working in a company, making money. Go. Go there. That is where the world needs you. We are all sinners. We are just born to sin. I mean, this is like when somebody makes an argument which is completely like, preposterous. Like, it becomes hard to do any argument with them. Anyways, usually just such a person is myself. Oh, there I see that girl again. But alas. This song, what song was that? I forget the song.
See her again, but... I don't know why I saw so way. She was with another man, and I can't pick her. But I've got a plan. You're beautiful. You're beautiful to me. That guy has a weird voice. I can't sing this voice. Yeah. Fun, so. I think I have done enough serious podcasting. I usually think of myself as a very good comedian. I think if I have some good content someday to share about, you know, Bill Burr. I should watch more of Bill Burr. I've been watching Bill Burr a lot recently, so. Someday I'll end up ranting. That would be a fun day to make a podcast. Until then, have fun, stay safe. Virus is... taking its own course. See you.